Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, it's a privilege to be here to open up God's Word. I want to thank especially Dan Edwin for a CD that was handed to me a month ago that had some, not a little bit of impact upon this assembly, who I've heard the CD, 10 shekels and a shirt. I know quite a few of us have it. We've listened to it a number of times. It has impacted my message this morning somewhat. You might hear some things that are familiar with that's in the CD. I originally wasn't going to speak on this. I had other verses in mind, but the Lord kept bringing me back. And so you know how that is. You have to submit. And I submitted to the Lord this morning concerning, well, my son, first of all, warned me the last time I spoke. He said, "Dad, stay away from politics." So I promise you, there's no politics this morning, but I am going to present the policies of heaven. So, Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the time that we could come to remember your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a privilege that we have as believers in him to come before thy throne of grace and the throne of mercy and the throne of love, where you paid the price for our sin on the cross. And, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds and our ears this morning to thy word. We thank you for it, that instructs us and leads us and guides us into all truth. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would help the speaker this morning so that all the glory would go to the Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so we pray these things in his name. Amen. Three verses to open up. The first one is in John 5, verse 23. And it says this, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. And then over to the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And then the last reading is in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 5, we read this, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I would just like to touch upon the latter part of this verse, which would read, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing." We have, as believers, an obligation to our God. What he has done for us, there is no payment other than what we can give to him with our honor and our glory and blessing. You can't pay for salvation. You can't work for salvation. You can only give back to God the honor and glory and blessing that he deserves. Honor can be defined this way: a weight of importance. And we know that presidents and kings are honored because of their importance. It's a weight of glory. If we compare the importance of man to the importance of God, we find it a clear and distinct difference, don't we? Can you really compare man with God? There is no comparison, especially when it comes to the weight of that honor and glory that he so deserves. And those who are not redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus says this in John chapter 5, "I receive not honor from men." And Jesus reveals in verse 44, "How can ye believe which receive honor one from another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" We find in this world that men like to be honored by other men. They receive the praises of men, and the honor of men, and the glory of men. But what about the honor of God? It says here, how can you believe if you're receiving the honor of men and not recognizing the honor of God? You can't do it both. We try. We go back to the definition of honor. Weight of importance. Someone may say how important we are. And not far behind is pride. Isn't that true? When we think of the importance of man, and a man who tells us about what he has accomplished in this life, the degrees that he has, the strength that he has, the wisdom that he has, in comparison to God. The importance of man is nothing in comparison. We must get back to the Revelation chapter 5 statement. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing. He's doing the receiving. Who's doing the giving? We are responsible to give to our God and our Lord Jesus Christ all these things that honor and glorify Him, and not to honor and glorify self. Shame on us when we think that we should get any kind of glory when we're in His presence. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. That's what Revelation chapter 5 says. Worthy is the Lamb. Lord Jesus says in John 8:54, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. "It is my Father that honors me." If the Lord Jesus Christ himself sought not the honor of himself, should we not follow his example? He didn't come here to get honored by man. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. Philippians says that he had no reputation, and yet his fame went abroad about what he did. But he didn't come to earth as Dr. So-and-so, or lawyer so-and-so. He was a carpenter. Can any good come out of Nazareth? Was the question. Carpenter? And spoke the way he spoke and did the things that he did. He didn't seek a reputation other than the fact that he came to seek and to save the lost. Humiliating when you think about it, the position he took from being God in heaven to man on earth. It was a great step down, tremendous step for the God of the universe to be in such a position. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. That's what the Bible says. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Jesus said, "It is my Father that honors me." This is what all believers seek. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and blessing. You know, we know from the Scriptures that Christ is preeminent in His church. It's His church. It doesn't belong to anybody here. And I've heard people say, "Oh, that's so-and-so's church." That's honor that does not belong to that man. It's Christ's church. He is the preeminent one here. And we are but servants of the Lord God. To do what? To bring honor, glory, and blessing. Because He's receiving it. Because the Bible tells me so. So we should give it. Hymn writer points out this in the song. "How can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me?" We must think about those things. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is at stake in our lives every day and how we represent Him. Do we bring glory to Him or do we bring glory to ourselves? It's a question I ask myself all the time. I have to ask the Lord, and I confess it before the Lord daily, that I have failed miserably in this department many times, because so often the flesh wants that little bit of glory, and that's pride, and it doesn't belong in a believer's heart. You know, last week, Brother Mike spoke to us. It's interesting because this is exactly how the Lord works. And I was preparing a message for this week, before last week. And my message was based on Luke 7 and John chapter 12 concerning the two Marys. And what do you think Mike spoke on last week? Luke chapter 7 and John chapter 12 concerning the two Marys. I said, "Well, there goes that one." Anyway, there's some of the things in that that I still want to bring out about honor and glory and blessing. And it speaks to us most vividly of these two women in the Scriptures, doesn't it? In Luke 7 and John 12, it's the two Marys. What did they do? They anointed the Lord with oil. They knelt down and they washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with their hair. And Mike pointed this out, that the glory of the woman is her hair. That's what 1 Corinthians 11 points out. It's the glory of the woman, her hair. That Greek word, glory, also means honor. If you look it up in the Greek texts, you'll find it under honor. And there's two words for the Greek, but the word glory is doxa, where we get our term doxology, the study of the glory of God. But here these two women, both of them, are at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are they doing? They're taking their glory and they're wiping the feet, the dust and the dirt off His feet with their hair. Now, is this something you do with glory? I know some women don't like to even see one little hair out of place. That's her glory. But these women were willing to submit themselves and their glory at His feet and present it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Luke 7, she's known as a sinner in her town. She had a reputation. And there she was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, wiping his feet with her glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing. And there that sinner was at his feet, wiping his feet with her glory. And Mary of chapter 12, she wasn't known as a sinner. In fact, she had a pretty good reputation. She loved the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus would come to their house many times. The Lord Jesus raised her brother from the dead. We find in Mary, this Mary, a grateful person. We say on one hand, the Mary at the feet of Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair, the glory, because of her shame and her guilt. The other one was at his feet, wiping his feet with her glory, out of gratitude to the Savior for what he is and what he's done. It's something for us to remember as we come to worship. Why are we here? Are you here to give to God glory? Or do you want to come here just to get? And if you don't get, what are you going to go out the door saying, I didn't get anything from that message or from that worship time? Of course not. You didn't give. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor, glory, and blessing. We're on earth for a purpose here. Since we've been saved, we have a new direction in life. We have a heavenly home. We have a hope of glory. And that's what we set our sights on. Too often we get distracted with the world, with what we're going to become in life, what we're going to be doing on our education, what we're going to be doing on our jobs, how we're going to retire in life, making sure that we have enough. The wrong focus. Lord has taken care of that. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, he will take care of you. That's a promise of God. The other thing that I realized too is when that Mary of Luke 7 came to the Lord Jesus as a sinner with a bad reputation, she was at his feet, broken. She was a broken woman because she was in the presence of a holy God with all this sin. David felt the same way, didn't he, when he came before the Lord in Psalm 51 and confessed his sins before God. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. A contrite, a broken and a contrite heart. That contrite means bruised. And this woman came to the Lord Jesus with a broken heart and bruised reputation. And there she was at the feet. Do we come into this place with a proud spirit? Look at here I am, Lord. Look at all I've accomplished and done for you. Into his presence. We can't do that. Why? Because he's the only one worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing. Not me. In the book, a friend of mine who had on the shelf, I borrowed it last time I was down visiting him in New Jersey. He's a Catholic, a very good man, puts a lot of us Christians to shame. And on his shelf, he had a book. And I said to him, George, I said, have you read that book yet? What book? I pulled it off the shelf, and I showed it to him. And he said, no, I haven't read that one yet. I said, well, George, I'm taking it home, and I'm going to read it. And then after I read it, I want you to read it. I have not returned that book yet. But you know what the name of the title was? No Greater Savior. I said, well, I was a little suspicious at the time about the context of the book, so that's why I took it, and I brought it home, and I read it. And it's a very good book. It's a sound book. But it said this about brokenness. It tears away every fiber of our humanness and reduces us to the lowest possible level of existence. It leaves us battered and dazed with no confidence in ourselves. That's where we should be when we come before a God who loves us and was willing to send his Son to die on a cross. We should be broken and contrite and have absolutely no confidence in ourselves. No greater Savior, that's for sure. It's come to my attention that we don't really give to the Lord his due when it comes to honor and glory and blessing. I found myself to be somewhat of a failure in this department. Do we come prepared on Sunday mornings? Do we prepare our hearts before the Lord, before we come here? Do we confess our sins before him so that we can come with a clean heart? That's what's fitting for the Savior, isn't it? Both Marys basically prepared when they came to the Savior. They brought oil. Oil was costly. It cost them something. And oil has value. What they valued as something special, they brought it and anointed him with it, besides washing his feet with their glory. We come to worship, to glorify him, to be broken in his presence, to have no confidence in ourselves, but lay ourselves open to him at the foot of the cross. Remember me. How much value do we place on our worship time? Has it cost us something? Is there value in it? Or has it just become a ritual that we do on Sunday mornings? Is our hearts really in place to come before a holy and a righteous God, into his presence? You know, some come late to this meeting. It's a shame because when you come late, you come late. You might miss the first song, you might miss the first prayer, but you're still late. We don't dare do that in the world, but we can do it before the Lord. I don't understand. I've seen some come in with coffee, like they just stopped at the coffee shop. Maybe running late that morning, had to get up and get dressed real quick to come to the worship time. People see us coming in with coffee in our hands like, oh, they must be having a discussion group this morning where everybody sits around a table and discusses some subject. This is worship. This is where the God of the universe sets himself to receive honor and glory and blessing. Not with a casual attitude that we come in and just say, here we are, coffee in hand. It's not right. The same book, No Greater Savior, says this: never think you can come or you can approach the Lord casually. Never think that you can come into his presence thinking, this is the Lord's day and I'm going to come and I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. I want to be comfortable. I want to have my coffee in my hand and I'm going to meet with the Lord God of heaven. We have not recognized his holiness, and we have not recognized our sinfulness, the depths of our sins. Yeah, we confess we're sinners, but we don't know the depths of our hearts. And people's reply all the time is, well, it doesn't matter how I dress or how I look in the presence of God because God sees my heart. What is he seeing in your heart? If you treat him this way, you wouldn't go to a wedding dressed like this. You wouldn't treat the Lord like this, but we do. What is he receiving? Is he receiving the casualness of our heart that it doesn't matter? You don't have to answer to me. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to give your own reasons and your own excuses. You think they're going to fly? He wanted something from you. You come in late. You didn't give it to him, did you? Didn't matter, was the response. It does matter. He's there waiting for you. The minute we start is the time that he's there listening for every thought. And you're a minute late, 10 minutes late, whatever it is. He's missed out on your heart's thoughts about him. He wanted to receive the honor and glory and blessing. And he did not get it. The hymn says, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. You want glory? Here's the glory that you're going to get while you're here as a Christian. It's found in the cross. To go there, you must die. You must be crucified with Christ, as the Bible says. You must be broken of this world and it's all its allurements. I sat behind a lady a few years ago in a meeting, worship meeting. She was dressed very, very nicely. And her hair was just absolutely gorgeous. Beautifully done. And she had a head covering on. The head covering couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 inches in diameter. And it was placed on the top of her head, so I didn't even notice that it was there. Because the first thing I said to myself when I saw her, I said, she's not wearing a covering. But I was wrong. She was wearing a covering. But what was more important? She didn't want her glory upset. Let's take a lesson from these two Marys. They weren't concerned about their glory. They were more concerned about being in the presence of their Lord and Savior. They gave their glory up, wiping his feet, brokenness, and grateful to a God that loved them and saved them from sin. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, glory, and blessing. Shall we close? Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this time that we have been in thy word, the word that reveals to us the beauty of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the majesty of your Son, the holiness of your Son. And Father, that we might, as the scriptures say, be holy as I am holy, that we might live our lives to the glory and honor and blessing of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Take us from this place, Father, to go out into a world that hates him. And yet, Father, by our testimony, we can bring the honor back to thee by showing to them how much Jesus loves them also. So we pray for these things, Father, that you would receive the honor and glory and blessing this morning. In your Son's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.